The gospel reading is from Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 9 and 18 through 23. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet, such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields. In one case, 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. The word of the Lord.
Please be seated.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ, our risen Savior, Lord. Join me in a quick prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for your wondrous word. We pray that we can receive it as good soil, firmly trust in you that the roots can grow, and that we can spread that seal, the seeds to all the earth with the power of your Spirit. We pray in your name. Amen. Now, some of you may wonder how this crazy, long-haired, scruffy guy from Pennsylvania somehow managed to get up here preaching. Now, I know most of you know me better than that, that you don't judge me simply on that. But truly, the answer is simple. A seed was planted years ago. Now, many of you are gardeners. Maybe some of you are even farmers or grew up on farms. And you know about planting a garden or a field, it takes a little bit of preparation. First, you choose the seeds and the location, what it is that you want to plant and where. Then you got to cultivate the field or the spot and clear it of all the weeds, make the ground ready, perhaps a little bit of fertilizing. And when it comes time to actually plant the seeds in the ground, you lay the seeds in a specific spot so that they're close enough together to have the maximum amount of seeds in the field, but not so close together that they're going to cut back on the yield. Basically, you're searching for the most productivity that you possibly can out of every individual seed. While this may be good for gardening or farming, according to our gospel lesson today, this isn't quite what Christ has called us to as Christians. Let's back up just a little bit here. You may remember Pastor Paul preaching 2 weeks ago about how the ministry of the disciples is changing a little bit at this point in Scripture. In Matthew's gospel, up until chapter 10, we focused on Jesus. We focused on Jesus' life, the calling of the disciples, Jesus' ministry to the crowd. And then 10, Jesus starts to change the focus slightly to his disciples doing their own ministry. And he prepares them with the lessons. Now, at this point, there starts to grow a small amount of unrest within the Jewish community on Jesus. So he needs to change things a little bit different on his own, and he starts preaching in parables. In chapter 13, we see Jesus giving further instruction to his disciples, first through parables, And then in verse 18, he goes behind closed doors to explain the parables a little bit. And we can see what the kinds of seeds are. He talks about the seeds that are planted on the path, that these are the seeds that are picked up by the evil one. The seeds that are planted on the rock, they're quick to have faith, but there's no root, and it spoils. Amongst the thorns, people care more about this world, about their life now, than about the faith or what Jesus will bring in the future. And then there's the good soil that bears good fruit. Now, I could quickly bring my sermon to an end here and simply say, amen, plant the seeds anyway. But before I jump out of the pulpit, I'm going to go in a little more detail. Scripture is one that can represent many different, this scripture can represent many different approaches in our lives. We can look at it viewing ourselves, our own soil. We can look at other people and society, and when we're trying to plant the seeds, how they're receiving the seeds. I'll touch on that in a little bit. Today, I want to look at Matthew 13 as a calling that sends Christians around the world and right next door. Matthew 13 represents people of the earth through the seeds. Now, planting and harvesting was easy for people of the day to understand. Society at the time revolved around farming and gathering. We hear about it through vast amounts of scripture, starting actually in Genesis 2, as Adam and Eve are in the garden. Scripture that shows that they quickly learned how to plant in fields is in chapter 3, when they left the garden. Later, scripture shows farming and harvesting being used to help feed the poor. The book of Ruth talks about how Ruth and Naomi were fed by Boaz's men dropping some grain for her to gather. It eventually led to Ruth being part of his family. In Matthew 20, we hear about the workers of the vineyard and the landowner going to town to hire workers to come work in his vineyard. Last week, Pastor Steve was talking about oxen being yoked. My point is that farming is something that the people could understand in that time. Still, this parable is a confusing paradox. Who would ever just throw seed, let it land, and expect it to grow? This is not how a farmer would work his field. Jesus obviously wasn't talking about farming or planting, but it was confusing to the disciples nonetheless. Through his explanation, Jesus explained how the word is received. Rich, if you can bring up the next slide. Sorry, we got ahead of myself there. One more. He explains how the word is received. He's not simply talking about scripture, but he's talking about his own flesh and blood. Now, without the foresight of the crucifixions, the disciples were not understanding what he was talking about. How could they? Today, we have history on our side. We can understand what happened during Holy Week and understand the word being received. What we need to focus on today is understanding how society handles our faith and receives the word. Without this understanding, we can start to become reserved, not want to talk about our faith or be open about it. Yet, there is one part that Jesus doesn't add in his explanation of the seeds. He does not specify to avoid the less than good soil areas to plant the seed. This is where I hear the mission call. While a farmer doesn't understand planting a seed just anywhere, a missionary does. There are missionaries that dedicate their entire lives to spreading the gospel around the world, living in poverty, meeting only their basic needs. Other missionaries will dedicate a portion of their lives and what they have to planting seeds, but don't give up those comforts. And then there's the variety in between. But this leaves out a group of missionaries that God has called. These are the missionaries that are sitting around Pastor Paul. That includes you and me. These are the missionaries, as I said before, the mission field is worldwide. When some hear that, they think of exotic places like Africa or war-torn areas like the Middle East or Eastern Asia. Let us not forget to reel in our scopes a little bit and see the need that surrounds us in our community. When Jill and I first moved to Bismarck, we were looking for a church. Neither of us grew up in town, and we didn't have any family or friends here, or at least none that we knew of. And Jill had her teaching job at the school, and I had quickly picked up a job driving buses. Now, I wasn't shy about telling people that I was looking for a church. The phrase I think I heard the most often was, "I'm Catholic." Now, I wasn't sure if that somehow was implying that a good Lutheran boy wouldn't dare step foot in a Catholic church, or that somehow the Catholic Church was too good for us. I really don't believe that they meant either. The fact still remains that I didn't get a single invitation to go to church until we were more strongly looking at Trinity as our church home. Now, this isn't as concerning to me about people who are out there looking for a church home. It's actually more concerning to me about the people out there that aren't looking for a church home, or those who haven't even had a seed planted. Pastor Mark Asleson, pastor at Dilworth Lutheran Church in Minnesota, cited a survey in the Fargo-Moorhead area that was done in the early 2000s, asking why people didn't attend church. And many of those that said that said it was simply because they had not been invited, that no one had invited them. Now, perhaps you're not the kind that's going to go out around to everyone and inviting them to church. That's okay. Another way that you can be a local missionary is to be open about your faith. Now, this is an area that becomes hard for some. See, those Jesus is referring to as less than good soil will try to bring bad to the good that you are trying to spread. Those who have had the seeds snatched away, or the seeds that grew on rock, will find some reason to downplay what is said, and others may even try to bring shame on it. But that should not stop us from being open in our faith. I do need to clarify here before I go any further, being open about our faith is good. Being pushy is another. We're scattering seeds, not forcing them in areas that seeds don't belong. If you're open about your faith, it will allow others to be open as well. But if one becomes pushy or insensitive, it closes the door for others to feel that they cannot be open as well. And we are all humans. We all make mistakes. There was a pastor in New England who was in front of the people of the church. I don't remember exactly what happened or what led to this, but the pastor let out a four-letter word. He was so embarrassed at what had happened that he walked out of the church and he was never seen there again. If we are pushy to a point that we can't feel comfortable making a mistake, we're driving too hard. So are there other ways that we can spread the seed, both locally and throughout the world? As a matter of fact, there is. Here at Trinity, we have the radio broadcast, which there's different people or groups that sponsor every week, and that allows our service to be broadcast out to many in the area. And there's also KNDR, which Jill and I support yearly, that also helps the ministry reach people. Trinity is very proud of the banquet that we serve every Thursday, and it's something that we've talked about a lot. If there is anybody that's unfamiliar or looking to be able to spread more about the banquet to people in the community, in the back there, out the door, and it'd be to the right if you're going out the door, there's a stack of different pamphlets that you can pick up and help spread the word about the banquet. Some of you may remember a few months back, Sharon Esheim was here talking about Bridges of Hope through Heart River, the organization where she's taking youth from the YCC and helping them to grow in their faith a little bit. And she works with another pastor over in Mandan, Renee Speckle-Larson. And that's a great program. I haven't had much dealings with it myself, but I've heard a lot about it. Trinity has also taken part, Pastor Paul and Pastor Larson, I guess, Renee, and some of the others have done the beer and hymns over in Mandan. And that's a chance where people are out in the community singing hymns and enjoying themselves and allowing others to get a sense of the gospel. We've also had youth trips, and we have a trip coming up. Pastor Paul? What's that?
He also wanted me to lift up our relationship globally with the Argentinian church. There's a group of Lutherans in Argentina. You guys have probably heard about them. We've talked about them in the past and have been supporting them for a few years. We helped them finish their parsonage recently. And I also lift it up because we are going to be sending a group of our church late November to go visit the community. And I just can't tell you, and those who have been could probably tell you better than I, but how wonderful it is to realize how big God's mission is when you make cross-cultural relationships in the faith. And that's, I think, ultimately why we're doing it and why we have a global partner, is to remind ourselves of how big God's mission is and how he scatters his seeds everywhere. And so I would just lift up that we have a meeting next Sunday at 12:30. If anyone's interested, it's not too late to sign up. We're getting pretty close to getting our names down, but if you were interested and haven't been able to make it before, you can meet with us at 12:30 after next week's service. If you have any questions before then, you can talk to me after the service.
And I also want to point out that the ELCA website shows lots of opportunities for us to help out sister synods around the world. If you go check out the website for chances that you can be involved in global missions that way. And there's many other opportunities to be part of missions both locally and worldwide. Now, I have to admit there are times where spreading the seeds will be somewhat fruitless. The seeds are going to land on the path and the seeds are going to land on the rocks. Times where the word's not going to be received and it's going to be taken away. And I have to encourage you not to lose hope in that, not to focus on that. There may be those who seem to quickly appreciate it only to watch it die off and forget about that, but continue to move on. You have at least planted the seed. And the more seeds that we spread, you just never quite know what day or when that will spring up. Don't ever think that you have failed. With the help of the Lord and the Spirit, spread the seeds anyway. Amen.